I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Cordin Apargus, Senior Research Engineer at the Institute for Energy Systems in Switzerland. Dr. Apargus is a process engineer with a doctorate in the field of plasma treatment of polymer powders from the Institute of Process Engineers in Zurich. Between 2006 and 2011, he was the Global Product Manager for Laboratory Spray Dryers and Encapsulation at Bucky, where his main focus was on development of new nano spray drying technologies and the analysis of current market trends in the pharmaceutical, materials and food industries. In 2011 to 2015, he was the technical support team leader for sensors and laboratory products at Hamilton AG. Since 2015, he has been working as a senior research engineer at the Institute for Energy Systems in Switzerland. His research activities focus on thermal systems for energy efficiency in industrial processes. He's the author of a book titled Spray Drying for Vaccine Production, From Laboratory Research to Industrial Applications, covering all elements of aseptic design and sterilization procedures for spray drying projects. Hello, Cordin, and welcome to the Pharma Tech Talks podcast. In this episode, we'll be looking at vaccine production with the use of spray drying technology. So let's get started by asking, what is spray drying? Can you give us a brief overview of the technology, please, Cordin?
Yes, sure. Hello, Christian. So greetings from Switzerland first. So spray drying is a technology which is well known, especially in the food industry. So it's a very established technology. So everybody gets in contact with spray dried powder in daily life. You can think about coffee powder or milk powder. These are all spray dried products. And so it's a very established technology. And in the pharmaceutical company, this gets more and more interesting as well. So especially when you think about pharmaceutical powder products or capsules or tablets in dry powder form. So it's very possible that spray drying was one of the process steps.
And traditionally, we see most vaccine formulations as liquid. So why is this technology now being looked at for vaccine production?
Yeah, this is a very good question. So vaccines have a challenge, and it is the thermostability of the vaccines. And so a drying technology is a possible technology to change to thermostable vaccines, and the dry powder form offers new opportunities to for the application and also for the delivery route. First of all, reducing the dependency of the cold chain is important. So it reduces the waste. So if thermostable vaccines are there, they have a longer lifetime. And especially when you consider the COVID situation, where the whole world needed to be vaccinated, so reaching the low-income countries in warm climates is very challenging. And so the cold chain needs to be at a very high level to reach the people. So a dry powder form and such a dry vaccine formulation improves handling, storage, transport, and also distribution of the vaccine. And as I said at the beginning, so new delivery routes are possible, like inhalation or pulmonary vaccines over the lung, or oral vaccine in powder form, or intranasal sprays, for example, or also skin delivery by microarray patches, for example, are possible ways for these new formulations.
And what would you say are some of the main advantages of spray drying compared to some of the other drying techniques?
First of all, spray drying is a very fast drying process. So it's much faster than, for example, lyophilization. It can be scaled up much easier and reach higher capacity. So that's interesting for mass production. And therefore, it is very likely that the costs can be reduced as well. And furthermore, the particle size and particle morphology of spray dried products can be tuned. And this is a particle engineering technology, which also offers several advantages.
And what would you say are the main challenges to the technology? And I suppose conversely, what do you see as some of its main opportunities?
Yes, a challenge is the industrial experience. So for vaccines, so until now, there is no vaccine marketed yet. So there are still challenges in really human clinical trials. But the technology is there and it is done, it is used in different applications. But in vaccines, there is still some way to go. Another challenge is the aseptic processing. So if the vaccine is injected into a human, it has to be produced in very sterile and clean conditions. And then from the process point of view, the spray dried powder has to be recovered from the spray dryer, so out of the dryer into a vessel or storage tank. And so this powder recovery can also be a challenge. And finally, the powder gets filled into some small vials, for example, or inhalers. So these are milligrams of amounts. So that's also a challenge there to reach the reproducibility of this filling step. But there is a big opportunity for vaccines, especially when you look at the sales growth of this market. So there are many companies in this value chain which can profit from the sales growth. Very interesting technology is the mRNA vaccines, which is a new technology which has gained a real push into vaccine development, and that can be combined with spray drying as well. So that's very interesting. And finally, reducing waste is always a main trigger.
So creating a stable product is really important. What are some of the key requirements for improving vaccine stabilization in spray drying?
Yeah, so stabilization is a very key requirement for long-term storage. And so the formulation specialist know how to stabilize a vaccine. And this includes several excipients. First of all, a sugar or a polyol, like trehalose, for example, or sucrose, mannitol, or dextran, some other glass stabilizers, which replace the water during the drying. And then there are other ingredients like surfactants that prevent protein aggregation on the surface of the droplets, or amino acids that help to reduce aggregation and also increase dispersibility of the dry powder. Then there are inorganic salts for stabilizing the vaccine. Then there are buffers, proteins, polymers. So a whole bunch of possible excipients that need to be finely mixed. And that's the knowledge of the formulation specialist.
Absolutely. And what would you say is an achievable shelf life for a spray-dried vaccine?
Yeah, during writing this book on spray drying of vaccines, I really could summarize and say that there are examples and demonstrations of vaccines in dry powder form with over 24 months of storage stability at room temperature. So this has been proven for example, for influenza, HPV, TB, so tuberculosis or hepatitis B. And then there are others which really show several months of stability stored at 20 to 80 degrees.
And you mentioned a few different applications there. What would you say are the is the application spectrum for a spray-dried vaccine?
Yeah, the application spectrum is very versatile. It depends on the disease, and there are various bacterial and viral diseases around, and so there are many vaccines for humans and also for animals. And for the humans, the highest research activity is in vaccines for tuberculosis, influenza, measles, or hepatitis B, human papilloma virus, and so on. So the spectrum is quite broad.
Definitely. Just getting into some of the detail a little bit, what are the typical drying temperatures that you would see?
Yeah, with spray drying, there is typically air as a drying medium, and the air enters at a hot or a hot temperature and leaves the spray dryer at the outlet at the lower temperature. And the lower temperature, the outlet temperature, is the main determining temperature in the process. And here we see average outlet drying air temperatures of around 50, 53 degrees and plus minus 11 degrees, so around 40 to 60 degrees. And it is determining the final moisture content or the residual moisture content of the powder, which needs to be, let's say, around 1 to 5 weight percent. And then the vaccine powder gets stable. And so it will be very nicely encapsulated in a glass of the sugar. And then, so vaccines are very heat sensitive substances. So these are like mRNA or proteins, amino acids. So thermal stress is very important not to have thermal stress and reduce the degradation. So the temperature is a very important parameter.
And what sort of particle size and powder morphologies are produced from spray drying techniques?
Yeah, the particle size is a function of the droplet size. So the finer the droplets, the finer the final powder. And for inhalation applications, so for the pulmonary delivery route, the typical particle size is between 1 to 5 microns. And so this is the aerodynamic particle size that will reach the deep lung. And for other administration routes, like, for example, intranasal administration, then the particles can be larger, so around 10 to 20 microns. And for a skin application, oral, this can also be a little bit larger. There is also possibility to generate particle morphologies which are not spherical but more resin-like, so shrunken and composite structures which have very high surface areas to increase the availability of the vaccine.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier that a lot of the times these applications are carried out aseptically. And I was just thinking, so once dried, typically, how would you remove the product from the dryer and then transfer it to the next part of the process without it risking any further levels of contamination?
Yes, contamination is no-go. So this needs to be done in an aseptic environment and at a very high grade of cleanliness. So in clean rooms, in isolators, wraps or other things like an aseptic split butterfly valve, which seems the most economic and simplest way and to transfer the material safely from process to process.
Okay. And we mentioned earlier that most vaccine formulations are in the liquid form. But how close do you think we are to seeing spray-dried vaccines actually come onto the market?
Yeah, so far there is no spray-dried vaccine product approved from the World Health Organization, so from the WHO. So, but there are several vaccines in preclinical studies and in animal models. This has been already done, like in mice or pigs or macaque. And so, but now for the humans, there is still some limited data. And there are first companies which go into the direction of spray drying vaccines. So the first movers are there. It can be recognized and have also been summarized in my book. But for now, much more research is still going on. And then there is also a need for vaccination campaigns to really get a larger group of humans that are willing to test the vaccine.
And I'm sure it was a really interesting exercise in writing the book. What would you say that you personally learned during the writing of this book?
Yes, for sure. I learned a lot about vaccines, about spray drying, about powder processing and so on. So I feel like being a doctor at some point. So the medical field is very interesting. It's about human health, and yeah, that's a very interesting topic. I also learned about vaccine formulation, which is a whole field of study. And overall, I liked the spray drying technology very much.
Well, that's been really interesting speaking to you, Cordin. And so thanks very much for your time and your insights. Where could the listeners go to find a bit more information about the book that you've just released?
Yeah, the book is published by Springer. So there is a website where you can download also the ebook, and these are 7 chapters and well presented by Springer Publisher.
Okay, thank you very much, Cordin.
Thank you, Christian.